All right, find your place again with me in the book of Genesis chapter 24, the book of Genesis chapter 24. We began this message on Sunday night, and I'm going to conclude it, God willing, tonight on the second major thought in this chapter. And these thoughts are just thoughts of application from this chapter here, Genesis chapter 24. This is one of the greatest chapters, in my opinion, in the Word of God. Now, how can you say one of the greatest chapters? I know they're all great, they're all powerful, but this chapter is packed full of points of application for us. And we began a message entitled on last Sunday night, A Wife for Isaac. A Wife for Isaac. And this whole chapter is about Abraham having a desire for his son Isaac to be married. And what he did, he called his servant, his unnamed servant, to his side, and he shared his desire with him and sent him to his own country, to his own kindred, with the purpose of finding and calling out a bride to bring home to his son. And this is a beautiful picture we have. Let's pray together, and we'll begin just to summarize what we've said and proceed to our second major thought. Father, we love you. Help us tonight. May the will of God be done. I beg of you, please. Comfort our hearts. Challenge us from your word. Speak to us in a very real way in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we consider this story, there are many things that could be said. But the Lord has led me to two major thoughts. I preached on the first one Sunday night. If you want to go back and get it, I encourage you to do that. I'm just going to mention these thoughts to you. But first of all, we noticed a pattern for finding God's will for marriage. Now, in that, we brought out several thoughts. Let me just mention them. Number one, what to look for in a life's mate. And under that, we noticed Rebecca. First of all, she was of Abraham's own kindred. Secondly, she was faithful and dependable in her duty. Third, she was a lady of purity. Fourth, she was a lady that showed great respect to others. Fifth, she unselfishly served others. Sixth, she had initiative. Then we noticed, secondly, how to look for a life's mate. And we focused our attention then on the servant and how he looked for Rebecca. And first of all, under that, he was living in obedience. Secondly, he was in the right place to find her. Third, he prayed for guidance while he was in the center of God's will. And fourth, he was patient. Now, if you were not here, I encourage you to go back and get that message. As a matter of fact, I've asked Miss Brenda, and she's doing this for us. She's going to make several copies of that particular message and have them available. If you want one, just pick it up and take it. I encourage you, please take advantage of that. Now, tonight we're continuing with our Bible study on this chapter, and tonight we give you major thought number two. And that is, number one, it was a pattern for finding God's will for marriage. Now we turn our attention, secondly, to a picture of Christ and the church. A picture of Christ and the church. In other words, the second major thought for application in this chapter is how we have such a wonderful picture and such a wonderful type of the calling out of the bride for Jesus Christ. See, the New Testament plainly teaches that the church is being called out today as a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. This is taught in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 33. And this is taught in Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 to 10. Now, that's just some of the places, but those are three good places that teach that the New Testament calling out of the bride of Christ, and it's pictured here beautifully in Genesis chapter number 24. In this story, we see Abraham, the father, had a desire to find his son a wife. So he sent his servant into his own country to call out a bride for his son Isaac. The servant is led to Rebekah and rehearses to her and her family what his errand in her land was at that time. Rebekah accepts the call and goes with the servant to Isaac, who takes her, marries her, loves her, and is comforted by her. Now, this story is an obvious type of the calling out of the bride for Jesus Christ. And I want to consider four people here who are a beautiful type of the Holy Trinity and the Church of Jesus Christ. Number one, we have Abraham as a type of God the Father. What I mean by that is this. This chapter opens up, notice it, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my kindred and to my, right here, unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. This chapter opens up with the father having an earnest desire to find his boy a bride. And I'm telling you that he wanted his son to be married. That's what he wanted. And in the same way, get this, God the Father has a desire for his son Jesus to be married some glorious day in the future. And I'm telling you tonight that he had so much of a desire for this that he made it possible by sending the bridegroom himself to die to make it possible so that he might be married someday. Number one, we see Abraham as a type of God the Father. Number two, we see the servant as a type of the Holy Spirit of God. What I mean by that is this. Abraham called his servant and sent him off to find Isaac. This, basically to find Isaac, a bride and a wife. This servant is unnamed in this chapter. He has been given a commission by the son's father. And in this, we see he is a picture of the blessed Holy Spirit who is sent into the world to call out a bride for Jesus Christ. See, there are several ways that this servant pictures the Holy Spirit. Number one, under this, he pictures him because he was sent by the Father. We see this in verses 2 all the way down through verse number 9, that the servant did not go to that country unsent. The servant went to that country sent by the father who had a desire for his son to be married. And I'm telling you that the heavenly father has a desire for Jesus to have a bride. And now he has sent his Holy Spirit into the world to call out this bride. And friends, if you are saved, you're a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to tell you something that ought to excite you tonight. That ought to just make something skip in you tonight to say, listen, I don't care what the world looks like. Everything looks good for my future because I am espoused. I am engaged to the Lord Jesus Christ. And someday I'm going to see him and someday I'm going to marry him. I'm telling you that this servant is a type of the Holy Spirit because he was sent by the Father. Number two under this, he's a picture of the Spirit because he exalted the Father. We see this in verse number 35. Look at it. This is when he is now sitting with the family. And this servant is speaking concerning Abraham. Notice what he said in verse 35. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. And he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. Boy, I'm getting excited right here. What I'm talking about is this. This servant, when he came to sit down and begin to share his errand, what he did, my friends, he said, I am the servant, verse 34, of Abraham, and God hath made him great. He is a great man. God has made him great, and he's given him flocks. He's given him herds. He's given him silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. What I'm saying to you here, friends, is he exalted the Father to these dear people by showing them that he is great and that he's not lacking. He has all he needs. He has all he wants. God had blessed his life, and I'm telling you that he's proving to these people that Isaac's father is well able to take care of Rebekah. And in this way, we see that he is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit of God did not come to exalt himself. He did not come to exalt himself. You show me somebody in a religion and a movement that elevates the Holy Spirit above the Father and the Son. Listen to me. They are co-equal. They are coexistent. They is God of very gods. It is the Holy Trinity. But anybody who emphasizes the Holy Spirit does not emphasize the Bible correctly. I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit did not come to exalt himself. He's right here. We see that later on, look at verse 53, and the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. Question, where'd he get all that stuff? Where'd he get all that stuff? The Bible plainly teaches in this chapter, when you read through it, that he took everything that he had was Abraham's. Abraham left everything he had into the hands of this servant. Read it yourself in this chapter. And when he was coming to them and saying, my master is great, and God hath blessed him, and he's got more than enough to take care of Rebekah, he said, let me prove it to you. Let me give you some of the things he has. Don't you see where we're going with this, friends? He is a type of the Holy Spirit in that he exalts the Father and proves and convinces the world that God is well able to take care of our soul. Thirdly, under this, he was a picture of the Holy Spirit in that he was sent by the Father. The Father sent him. He exalted the Father, but he didn't stop there. He also exalted the Son. We see this in verse number 36. Notice it. Let's go back to verse number 34. And he said, the servant, I am Abraham's servant. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he's become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants, camels and asses. In other words, he's got it all. But notice what he did in verse 3. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he, Abraham, given all that he hath. Don't you think God knew what he was doing in this chapter? Sure he did. It's interesting here that as the servant was exalting the Father, he naturally went on to exalt the Son. And you know what he talked about in verse number 36? Look at it. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. He's talking about the boy's miraculous birth. Amen. Then he goes on to say, and unto him hath he given all that he has. Sound familiar, friends? Does it sound familiar what the Holy Spirit's doing today in the world? I'm telling you that he wanted this family to know that this boy was born by a miracle. And he wanted this family to know that everything the Father had was given to the Son. As a matter of fact, the gifts that he gave to Rebekah and to her family in verse number 53, like I've already said, were to show them that Isaac was well able to take care of Rebekah. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit of God has been sent into this world to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and to show the world that He is the virgin-born Son of God, to speak about His miraculous birth, and to show how He is the heir of all things. And because He is the heir of all things, He is well able to care for our wretched souls. The Holy Spirit points people to the virgin-born Son of God, is what I'm saying, who is King of kings and Lord of lords. What I'm saying to you is that this servant, if you will, what a picture. He goes, he's unnamed, he's not exalted, he's just doing his duty. He goes as he's sent to go. He's fulfilling the commission of the Father, and he goes because he's sent, and he lifts up the Father and shows his mighty wealth. He lifts up the Son and speaks about his miraculous birth and how the Father has given the Son everything he owns. And because of this, what is he doing? He is drawing Rebekah to the Son. He's trying to convince them that Jesus is the right one. This is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit comes into the world not to speak of Himself, but to speak about the Father who has one only begotten Son that was brought into the world by a miraculous virgin birth. And because of that, he is God's heir. And God has given to him, his Father has given to him everything he owns. And he proves and convinces and convicts and draws the world to the cross of Jesus Christ, showing the world that if you choose him and you say yes, you'll be glad you did. This is the message, and this is the emphasis of the Holy Spirit. A man put it this way, and I quote, "The servant told about how great the Father was, that Isaac was of unusual birth, and that Isaac was heir to all that the Father possessed and could, therefore deliver Rebekah from her lowly situation." This is the same thing the Holy Spirit's doing today. He tells the world how great the Father is, and how Jesus was born miraculously and is heir to all the Father has and can therefore deliver sinners from their lowly sin-cursed situation. The Holy Spirit has come to draw attention to the Lord. He has come to lift up the Lord to this lost and dying world. You know what Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 says? It says, "Hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son," Jesus, S-O-N, "His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things." You know how much Jesus owns? All of it. You know how much He's heir to? The Word of God says His Father hath made Him heir to all things. And someday I'm going to be married to Him. I remember what Preacher Lashley used to say, "Can't you see old Dr. Gene Lashley decked out as a beautiful bride?" All I'm saying to you is that the Word of God plainly teaches that in the church age, the New Testament church, this is the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ, which means that someday we're going to be united with Him and nothing can ever break us apart. That's the hope of a Christian. That's the hope of the child of God. Somebody says, "My life's crumbling. Oh, what am I going to do?" I say, if you're saved, your life cannot crumble. Because the worst thing that could happen to you is see Him face to face sooner than you expected. Not too bad of a deal. Would you agree with that, amen or not? I'm telling you, John 16, 13, and 14, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth," that's the Holy Spirit, "the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. Now get this. For he shall not speak of himself. That's what Jesus said. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, Jesus said. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. What's the Holy Spirit doing in the world? He's wooing people to Jesus. He's drawing people. How does he do it? He speaks to them through his word. We're born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And we know that the word of God is authored by the Holy Spirit. That's what the word of God teaches, friends. Who wrote this book? The Holy Spirit of God. And what's his duty? Not to speak of himself, but to tell the world, you're in a lowly state, but I know somebody who can lift you out of it. And if you will listen to me and submit to all these things that I'm showing you, he shows us creation. He shows us all. And what's he saying? I'm just telling you, this Jesus that I'm trying to get you to say yes to, this Jesus that I'm trying to woo you to, he's heir of all things. And he's well able to take care of you. This is what he's doing. A fourth way that the servant pictures the Holy Spirit. We see that the servant pictures the Holy Spirit in that he was sent by the Father. He exalted the Father. He exalted the Son. And then number four, he called for a clear decision. Look at verse number 49. Notice what he did. After he went through all of this story, He rehearsed how I'm talking about this servant, went through the whole thing, how Abraham sent him, and he's got a boy that was alive because of a miracle birth, and the father has everything, and he's given everything he has to the son, and all that. And when he did all of that, notice what he did in verse 49. And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. What's he doing here? He's saying, I have accomplished what I came to do here. I have done my office work. I have asked you, I have shown you, I have proven to you, I have pleaded with you, I have uplifted the Son, I've uplifted the Father, I have shown you what the Father sent me to show you. And now I'm making a proposal. Rebecca, if you want him, he's yours. Now tell me what's your answer. Is your answer yes? Or is it no? Because if it's no, I'm going to go find somebody else. What I'm saying to you is after the servant did what he came to do, he expressed the truth concerning his father and son. And after he shared the purpose of the father with the family, he called for a clear decision right now. Notice he didn't say, won't you sleep on this tonight and pray about it. He knew what he was telling was the truth. And he knew what a deal it would be if she would say yes. And he knew only a fool would turn this down. So why ask him to pray about it? What's your answer? He was calling for a decision. He brought them to the point where the clear question was going to be answered. Nobody had to look around and say, what's he asking here? Nobody had to look around. In other words, when he said, if you're going to show favor, go ahead, but if not, tell me. Nobody looked around and said, I don't understand what he's asking for. No, everybody in that room knew exactly what the decision was. He was calling her to say yes to marry the son who is heir of all things. What would her answer be? The Holy Spirit convicts this world of sins, what I'm saying, friends. He convinces this world of Christ's sufficiency. And he calls this world for a decision. to receive or to reject the offer of salvation. Number one, we're noticing a picture now. Number one, we notice Abraham as a picture of God the Father with the desire for his son to be married. Number two, we notice the servant is a picture of the Holy Spirit who the Father sent into that country to find a bride and draw a bride and bring a bride home. I'm getting excited about that thought right there. And we see that he's a picture of the Holy Spirit because he was sent. He exalted the Father. He exalted the Son. He called for a decision. That takes me to my third point. And that is Rebekah is a type of the church. If you are truly saved tonight, if you really know the Lord as your Savior, if you're a born-again child of God, then what summarizes Rebekah summarizes you. Now, let me tell you what I'm talking about. In this story, we see how Rebekah is an accurate type of the church, the bride of Christ. We see her as a type of the believer in that she made her decision to accept Isaac. Now, notice this. Look at verse number, let's see here. Let's look at verse number 57. Now, after the family said, take her, the next day they wake up, and the servant wants to go ahead and take her, and her family says, at least let her stay 10 days. You can read this later. And he says, please don't stop the progress here. God has blessed this. Let's go. And then in verse 57, and they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. In other words, let's just let Rebekah decide. Verse 58, and they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Now, here's what I'm talking about. She made the right decision. Amen or not, friends. She made the right commitment of herself. But here's how she's a picture of the church. Stay with me, friend. I like it. I don't like it. I love it. What are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. She made her decision to accept Isaac as her husband. Get it? Completely on the word of the unnamed servant. Completely. She put feet to her faith and she went with this servant on a camel. Matter of fact, let's just read this. Look at verse number 60. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands, of millions. Let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. You listening to me? Faith has action to it. It's not just an empty profession. Oh, I'll go. But then she never moves. That's an empty profession. She proved her faith by her actions. Read the book of James and don't see if that's not what the Word of God teaches. That faith without works is dead. That doesn't mean that works produce faith. It means that true believing faith produces works, friends. And what I'm saying to you is that she puts feet to her faith here. And the Bible says that she rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Verse 62, and Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Can you not see this in your own mind's eye? Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, glory, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? See, she had never seen his face. She didn't really know what he looks like. All she had was the word of the unnamed servant. Well, she saw him from a distance and she said, who is that man? After her long, hard, treacherous journey, who is that man? And the servant said, that's him. And she got down off the camel. And notice, friends, when she got down off the camel, the servant said, it is my master. Therefore, she took a veil and covered herself. The end of verse 65. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, took Rebekah. She became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. I'm telling you that we see that she is a picture of the church. If you're saved, she's a picture of me. If you're saved, she's a picture of you. And that the only thing she had to make her commitment was the word of the unnamed servant. Glory, I'm starting to get blessed right here. She put feet to her faith and went on with this servant on a camel, making a long journey, making a hard journey, until one day she came face to face with Isaac. And my friends, in the same way, we have the precious Word of God, authored by the sweet Holy Spirit, that tells us that our sin condemns us, but the gospel is powerful enough to save us. And the Word tells us of God's only begotten Son, who loved us, who died for us, so that one day He could marry us. However, we've never seen His face. I've never seen the Lord face to face. The only thing I have is the word of His servant, who always tells the truth. And I'm telling you that we are simply ones, if you're saved, who've made a decision to accept the Lord Jesus Christ strictly based upon the word of His Holy Spirit. And this journey's long. And this journey's a hard one. This journey has ups, and this journey has downs. But glory, some wonderful day. Even though right now we may be riding on camels, and it's hurting, and it's sore, and it gets weary. And sometimes we ask ourselves, when's this journey going to be over? Glory. There's coming a day, friends, when we're going to look, and in the distance, we're going to say, who is that? And the blessed Holy Spirit will say, that's Him. That's Him. And we who trusted Christ strictly upon the word of His blessed servant will be brought face to face with Him. And we'll be so glad that when the Holy Spirit drew us to Calvary, that salvation was made perfect and made whole. I'm telling you, friends, I know it gets hard. I'm telling you, I know it gets rough. I'm telling you that sometimes you feel like you're riding a camel and it's beating the daylights out of you, don't you? But keep your eyes on where you're going. Because at the end of the way, old Isaac is coming out of the south country. And the Bible says he came out and just began to meditate. He's just thinking. He's just dwelling. And all of a sudden he looks, and off in the distance he sees the camels and the servants riding with them. And they're brought together. Glory day. You say, is it going to happen? It could be today. And may I say this to you? That's just fine with me if it does. 1 Peter 1:8 says this, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. You know the Word of God says, I know you can't see Him yet. That's what the Bible's teaching. But even though you've not seen Him, you still love Him. But we love Him, why? Because He first loved us. And listen to me here, and even though here you see Him not, yet inside you have joy unspeakable. full of glory. Why? Aren't you glad this earth is not the end, friends? Aren't you glad that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness? And someday, even though we've not seen Him, we've heard the word of His faithful servant. And His servant never lies. And He's proven to us time and time again, this is real. I'm here. I know it gets dark. I know it gets dreary. God spoke to me this morning in such a real way in my devotions. I begged God this morning. I said, God, speak to me. I need you to speak to me. And in my regular devotions, I'm in the book of Genesis. And in my devotional reading, I came to a phrase, and God said, that's me. He's speaking, and He said this, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bless thee and multiply thy seed. God gave me that this morning. I'm telling you, are you listening to me? Have you ever doubted? Don't be super Christian here, friends. Have you ever doubted? Have you ever had a thought go through your mind? The devil implants a thought in your mind. This is just all a bunch of junk. This isn't real. How can this be real? Maybe that's never happened to you, but I dare say it probably has. But even at times like that, He's so patient, isn't He? And even at times like that, He drops handfuls on purpose just to say, I know you've not seen His face, but I don't lie. I've told you the truth. And someday, you're going to see Him just like I said. Keep your eyes on the homeland is what I'm trying to say. Because Jesus is there. And the journey will be worth it all that glorious day. Are you out there, friends? Amen or not? Let me give you a fourth thing in this. And that is, Isaac is a type of the Son of God. What a great way to end this chapter by ending it with Isaac, who's a type of Jesus. We've noticed Abraham's a picture of the Father in that he desired for his son, whom he loved so much, to have fulfillment, if you will, and have a bride. We see the servant as a picture of the Holy Spirit in that he was sent by the Father. He didn't speak of himself. He spoke of the Father. He exalted the Son, and he called for a clear decision. We see Rebecca as a picture of the church, if you're saved, because she accepted the proposal of the servant. She said yes to the drawing of the servant. She said yes to marrying Isaac, whom she had never seen. She's never seen his face. But she believed the message of the servant. And because of that, she traveled back. And she saw Isaac face to face. But that brings us really to the most, if you will, important part of this. Maybe I need to take that back. It's all important. But this is pretty important. Rebekah was sent for by the servant of the Father. The servant had done his job. Rebekah had accepted his proposal. Now Rebekah's on her way to meet Isaac. And when they get there, we see several things that Isaac did with her that the Lord does with His children, His bride. Number one, on my last page of notes here, friends, stay with me, I'm doing good. Number one, He took her. We see this in verse 67, notice it. It says, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah. He took her. You know what that word took means? It means he accepted her. It means that when she came and he looked at her, she accepted him. and he accepted her. Friends, aren't you glad that no matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, how bad you've been, how bad you stink, how ugly we may be, when you accept the proposal of the Holy Spirit of God, the Son says, I'll take you. The Bible says in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He took her. Secondly, he married her. It's one thing to accept her, but he didn't just accept her. He committed himself to her. He married her. That's found in verse 67 as well. Took her into Sarah's tent, took Rebekah, and she became his wife. This means that Isaac married Rebekah that day. Glory day for Rebekah. Because now she's identified with Isaac. And what is Isaac's is now hers. Because they are married. Now I'm not going to read this, but write down Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 to 9. And what a thought. What a thought. Some glorious day, the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to take place. And we who are saved, the Lord will accept us as his bride. Number three, and I like this, what a fitting way to close this. He loved her. You see this right here in the same verse. He took her, she became his wife, and he loved her. See, it's one thing for somebody to say, I'll take you. It's even another thing for somebody to say, I'll marry you. But there are people doing those two things and never love one another. See, when Isaac saw her, something happened. And he not only accepted her and married her, he loved her. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church, that's the bride, gave himself for it. See, what a privilege for Rebekah to have the honor of marrying the son of Abraham. Would you agree with that? That Rebekah had a great honor and privilege to marry Isaac? Sure. But what a greater privilege for us to have the honor of being part of the bride of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. In this chapter, we saw an unnamed servant ordered by Abraham to go and find a bride for his son Isaac. This servant did as he was told and was led to Rebekah, who made the decision to go with him. And when they arrived at the place where Isaac was, he took her, married her, loved her. The Bible says he was even comforted by her. She was lifted up higher than she could ever go herself. There's no way that she could achieve in herself and raise and be raised to the elevation that she was if she stayed where she was. She became heir with the Son. And in this chapter, we applied it in two ways. Number one, a pattern for finding God's will for marriage. Number two, a picture of Christ and the church. And I ask you tonight, since we're dwelling on Christ and the church, are you a part of the bride of Christ? If you are, everything's going to be just fine. If you're not, see the blessed Holy Spirit of God, if you will, not trying to belittle, but just a picture that we can identify with, down on one knee, making a clear proposal. Will you come to him? If you do, he'll take you. He's going to marry you someday. And he's going to do both of those things because he loves you. What a deal. Amen or not, friends? May the Lord help us with this. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you and thank you for tonight. Thank you for your goodness. Speak to our hearts, I beg of you. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I do not want to preach this message and not at least give an opportunity to allow somebody who could be here tonight that does not know Jesus to accept him before it's too late. Is there one tonight, say, Jody, if I drop dead of a heart attack right now or if Jesus Christ came back, I'm concerned about my soul. I do not know if I'm a part of the bride of Christ. I do not know if I'm saved. Or maybe you know you're not saved and you know you're not a part of the body of the bride of Christ, and tonight God is speaking to you. Does somebody say, Jody, pray for me. I am not a part of the bride of Christ, or I'm not sure if I am, but I want to be a part of his bride before I leave tonight. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand in the air, please? Anybody say, Jody, pray for me. I'd like to be part of the bride of Christ. Anybody at all? And may the Lord help us to see our duty in getting this message to the lost and dying world. And let me ask this question and we'll be done. Have you say, Jody, I feel right now tonight that I've been riding in here on a camel. You understand what I'm asking you? No doubt this was a long journey for Rebecca. No doubt this was a hard journey for Rebecca. It wasn't easy and still not easy to ride a camel. It was a hard journey, long journey. She had the word of the servant. Who knows if maybe halfway in that trip, I don't know, the Word of God doesn't say it. I'm not trying to speculate, but who knows if she had a doubt in her mind or not. I don't know. You don't either. But we do know that the journey she was on was a good journey. Amen. We know that she had made the right decision. And we know that it was hard on her until the day that she saw him in the distance. Have you say, Jody, I'm going to be honest. Life is tough on me right now. Life is hard on me. And I'm pictured by Rebecca riding on that camel. I really am. Be honest. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, I'm on that camel tonight. Yes. God help you. What's the message for you tonight? The message is that the message is true. And our heavenly Isaac is at the end of the journey. And even though it may be hard and rough right now, there's coming a blessed day in the future when you'll see his blessed face. Ask God to help you keep that on your heart. I'm going to pray, and if God is speaking to you right there in the privacy of your seat, would you pray and ask God to help you? Father, we love you and thank you for this night. Thank you for this message. Simple truths. But I pray, help us to see the beautiful picture. Bless now, I pray. Bless this church. And help us that when the way gets hard, when the way gets rough, sometimes it gets bumpy along the way. Help us to realize that the destination is going to make it worth it all when we see the Lord face to face. Somebody here not saved, not knowing the Lord Jesus as their Savior, Holy Spirit, do your office work of drawing them to your side, to the cross of Jesus Christ. Convict them of sin and help them to make the right decision. We love you this night. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Love you. Be back on Sunday. Try to bring somebody with you. Saturday morning, visitation, 10 o'clock, if you can be here to help us. If you want a set of those children's books, please sign that sheet before you leave tonight, because that could be the last time it's up, okay? God bless you. You are dismissed.